Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
That is not a nice guy. I don't think Herod has any intention of going and worshiping the newborn king. In fact, if you know anything about what Scripture says, when it comes to Herod, I kind of look at Herod like Dr. Seuss's The Grinch Who Tried to Steal Christmas. You know what I'm talking about? Herod's kind of the Grinch in the Christmas story. As we come on this Christmas morning, we're going to take a look at this story of Herod. And in the classic tale of the Grinch who tried to steal Christmas, the mean old Grinch devised a plan that actually failed as he tried to halt the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas. And just as the Grinch could not keep Christmas from coming, neither could Herod thwart the Christ child, Jesus, from being born. While the Grinch's heart might have grown three sizes that day, Herod the Great remained hard-hearted as he did his best to try to stamp out any potential threat to his throne. Ultimately, that ended in defeat. While the Grinch is a fictitious character, Herod was actually real. He was a real king, a historical person who played a very historical and significant role, an adversarial role in the Christmas story. In fact, I found a little poem as I was preparing for this morning, a poem about the Magi and Herod who appear in Matthew chapter 2, and that's where we're going to be hanging out this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word or in your app notes this morning, you can follow along with the message, and we're going to have it on the PowerPoint as well. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. But the little poem I found says this. It says, "All the kings in the east, they saw the bright star, and though they thought the journey quite far, they loaded their camels with gift for the baby. And one of them said, 'Let's rest a while, maybe. Let's stop at the castle, we'll speak to the king, and maybe he'll come with us, more gifts he'll bring.' The king was cold and had dirt in his soul, but he listened to the men and the prophecies old. He was afraid for his kingdom and his wealth and position. He was afraid, or he smiled in their faces, but he feared their premonition. He said, 'Come to the palace when you found this new child, and I'll worship him too.' And then he just smiled. For Herod knew full well what he was becoming. He'd be the king who'd stop Jesus from coming." Herod is mentioned in only two places in the New Testament. He's mentioned in Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. Both places are the accounts of Jesus' birth. In fact, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, it simply is talking about the day and the time in which Jesus was born, the narrative in the time of Herod, king of Judea. Matthew, though, invests a little bit more time in chapter 2 of the gospel and helps introduce us, his readers, to who this person Herod was. Matthew chapter 1 or chapter 2, verses 1 to 6 says this. I want to read from the New International Version. It says this: "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born, and they said, 'In Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" What we see quoted here in Matthew shares with us a long-awaited prophecy about a Messiah, the Messiah, who would be born in Bethlehem. And that Messiah being born would finally come true. The one born the King of the Jews happened to be living right under Herod's nose. In fact, happened to be born about 10 miles away in the city of Bethlehem. And Herod didn't even know it. And so he gathered all the chief priests, he gathered all the scribes, all of those who would have known about Jewish history, would have known about the prophecies of old, who would have studied about the Messiah and where the Messiah was to be born. And he gathered them all together so that he could try to understand more about the birth of these prophecies, not because he was seeking to worship a Savior, but rather because he was worried about a threat to his throne. The members of the Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees who were under Herod's thumb told of the prophecy that was found in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, which said this, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, you who shall come forth for me shall be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from the ancient days." See, three groups of people are mentioned in this particular passage in Matthew chapter 2. Three different responses to Jesus' birth are present in these six verses. From here, we see the reactions to the fulfillment of the prophecy that have been shared. For Herod, he was troubled, he was disturbed, he was threatened. The Jewish chief priests and scribes were indifferent. But these Gentiles from the east, these Gentiles who were the wise men, the magi, came ready to worship. It's not hard to see that today there are three responses when it comes to Christmas. Three responses when it comes to worshiping Jesus. When it comes to celebrating Christ today. And they're not much different. For some, when the name Jesus is mentioned, the name Jesus brings trouble. It causes people to be a bit disturbed and kind of come unglued. That's why many times when you are around in public places, you don't see Merry Christmas, you don't hear Merry Christmas, you hear Happy Holidays. Why? Because if you say Merry Christmas, somebody might get offended. Thank God we're in a place where we can say Merry Christmas. Amen? Some might get offended. Some are fearful. Then there are others who, just like the religious leaders of the day, they knew about the prophecies, but they were indifferent. You would think that they would be the ones that when it came that the prophecy might be fulfilled, that a Messiah had been born, that they, out of anybody, would have been excited about it, would have gone and wanted to find themselves, who is this Messiah, to research and to find more. After all, this had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament. But they simply shared about it and were a bit indifferent. Didn't really care one way or the other. They were going about their religious duty. They were going about their religious business. But they didn't really seek to know the true Messiah. However, just like when Jesus would walk the earth in the Gospels, there were people who did take it seriously, who were concerned, who did care. And when they saw that star, they traveled a long way to seek and to worship Him. And this morning, I would like to focus on Herod and the Magi for a few moments that we have together. If you know anything about Herod, and that's who we're going to talk about first, historians have filled pages after pages of Herod's biography and accomplishments. Some were barbaric, some were political and manipulative, and that's the kind of life that he lived. Herod was born in 73 BC to a family that had the habit of siding with whoever was the strong power of the day. You have to understand that they were smart. When they understood that there was a mighty power or nation that was coming in, Herod's family said, "You know what? We're not going to fight against it. We're going to join you. We'll seek to switch whatever side we have to switch as long as it looks like we're going to be on the side of the power that is ruling in that day." Herod's grandfather and father were both named Antipater, where you get Herod Antipas from. Served military commanders in their homeland of Idumea, which was a tribal state located just south of Judea. The military pressures of the year caused Herod's ancestors to adjust and changing to the political climates in many ways, and they always find themselves on the side of whoever was in power at the time. Herod himself, when he came into power, demonstrated a political trait and skill that came on the scene as Rome was in power. Roman historians share that Herod's father and Herod were both very much assets to the Roman military machine. Both men had been rewarded for their faithfulness to Rome with positions of power in areas under Roman rule. In fact, when Herod's father was killed by poisoning in 43 BC, then Herod began to emerge as his father's political heir and successor under the Romans' umbrella of power. While serving as an appointed governor in the region of Galilee, Herod made a name for himself by putting down rebellions and by thwarting further dissensions around Jerusalem. The type of action that fit this prototype of what Rome called client rulers. Client rulers. In other words, they would find rulers who were willing to side with them from other nations and they would put them in power. And that's what Herod was. Herod was kind of a client ruler, an individual who would rule under the authority of Roman political power while having freedoms to do as he wished. so long as any uprisings or dissensions were quieted, so long as he could exact the taxes that were necessary to keep the Roman machine going. And Herod had proven himself as an asset. In 40 BC, the Roman Senate named Herod the king of the Jews because some of the ongoing civil war powers and struggles were going on. It wasn't until 37 BC that Herod officially began his rule as king of the Jews. And his rule would span from 37 BC all the way to 4 BC. For 33 years, Herod ruled harshly with great impact as the king of Judea. And he never really was the rightful heir of the throne. He could not be the king of Judea. He couldn't be the king of the Israelites because he wasn't in the royal line of David. And so Herod was one of these folks that was always worried about watching his back because he knew that he really wasn't the rightful ruler of Israel. He always had to watch his back. In fact, that's why he was troubled when he heard about a new Messiah, about a new king, one that had been prophesied, who would come from the line of David. And Matthew does a great job within his writings to try to establish right from the get-go in Matthew chapter 1 that Jesus came from the line of David. Why? Because he was the rightful ruler over Israel. And yet you had Herod, who was on his throne, always looking over his back. And Herod was a ruthless ruler. While Herod was in power, he garnered quite a reputation with attempts to be able to control any kind of people who tried to appoint themselves as king of the Jews. He was brutal. He shed much blood throughout his time and murdered his own family members when he thought they would try to usurp his authority. Herod killed his favorite wife, his own sons, in order to keep a firm grip on his kingdom. Herod's life read like a Shakespeare play that I read in high school. How many have ever read Richard III? Anybody ever read Richard III? Richard III wants to be king, but there are 187 men, women, and children who stand between him and the throne. And in order to keep the throne, he decides to kill them all. Herod ruled through violence. But not only through violence, Herod was also a builder. Herod was a builder. Herod loved to build things. He would not only kill off potential threats, but he would build and expand the kingdom. And that's why Rome loved him, because he was also expanding the kingdom throughout the region. He was wealthy beyond belief. He constantly taxed those that were under his rule. However, when famine came across the lands, Herod was very quick to figure out ways to feed the people and offer life to those who looked to him for leadership and protection. Herod was the one who rebuilt the temple. And that's why you call it Herod's temple. The temple had been built by Solomon and then torn down. And then had been built again after people came back from Babylon and came back from Persia. And they rebuilt the temple. Haggai in the Old Testament talks about it. And then it was destroyed again. And then a third time it was rebuilt again, and it was Herod who rebuilt the temple. It was Herod who had rebuilt it so that when Jesus and his disciples were walking around, oftentimes they would stop and they would look and they'd say, "Wow, look at the temple." And Jesus said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 this temple will be torn down. 3 days I'll rebuild." He's talking about himself, but he's referring to Herod's temple. Herod built all kinds of projects and his footprint stretched wide across his reign. Herod had worked too hard politically and militarily to give up a position to any kind of a new king who would be born king of the Jews. That's why Matthew 2 tells us that when Herod heard the news that there was one who was born actually in the actual line of David, that he was greatly troubled. Jesus' birth threatened Herod's position as king of the Jews. It threatened his place of power and control. Matthew chapter 2, 7 and 8, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him too." Make no mistake, the secret meeting that Herod had with the Magi was not about Herod learning how he can go and give up his control, how he can go and give gifts and worship this new king, how he can go and bring him in and train him up and allow him to rule. It was more about gaining information so that he could snuff out whoever was going to take his place of power. When the Magi didn't return because of the dream they had, because God was orchestrating the events. And friends, let me just point this out. You can never fight against God's plans. God's got a purpose and a plan. And you want to remain in control of your life, be my guest, but you will never be able to thwart God's purpose and plan. Herod, trying to remain in control, wasn't able to do that. God appeared to the Magi in a dream And they didn't end up going back. Matthew 2:16, when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and the vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. See, Herod thought by killing all of the baby boys 2 years old and under that he would at that point, he would kill off the Messiah. At that point, he would take away any kind of threat to his throne. He wasn't about to give up control. His reign might still continue, and he could be still in control of his own destiny. But like many today, the Christmas story of Jesus, the King of Kings, coming to save us from our sins, rather than being good news, for many today, it's not good news. Particularly if we want to remain in control. It can be a threatening message, one that threatens our plans, our hopes, our dreams, our desires. And like Herod, sometimes we go to great measures to harden our hearts and cast aside these thoughts so that we can remain in control to do what we want. We think we could ignore Jesus and that we can do our own thing. Maybe give him just part of our lives, while other areas of our lives we want to hang on to and seek to control. Much like wicked King Herod, we refuse to let Jesus rule completely in our lives, even though he is the one who has a rightful rule in our lives. It's tragic because we really can't experience the kind of joy that we're supposed to experience at Christmas when we want to remain in control. Either Jesus, how many have heard this? Either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. C.S. Lewis once wrote this, "Jesus cannot bless us unless he has us. When we try to keep within us an area that is our own, we actually are trying to keep an area of death. He claims all. There's no bargaining with him." For us to experience the joy of the presence of Christ, the full benefit of his loving guidance that made it possible, because Christmas is about to allow Jesus Christ his rule and reign in our lives. His rule and reign in our work, his rule and reign in our marriage, in our parenting, in our leisure time, all of it. Jesus wants all of it. Let me share with you an illustration this morning. In a stone cathedral in Europe, there was a large, magnificent pipe organ. It was a Saturday afternoon, and the custodian was making his final check of the choir and the organ loft high in the balcony at the back of the church. And all of a sudden, he was startled by footsteps that he heard echoing up the stone stairway. He thought all the doors were locked and that no one was around, and he turned then to see a man who was slightly tattered, traveling in clothes that were slightly ripped and tattered, and coming toward him. "Excuse me, sir," the stranger said, "I've come quite a distance to see the great organ in the cathedral. Would you mind opening the console so that I might have a closer look at it?" Well, the custodian was taken back. First, he refused. The stranger seemed too eager to be able to see this, but finally he gave in. Then the stranger asked, "May I sit on the bench?" The request was met with an absolute refusal. "Absolutely not. What if the organist came in and found you sitting here? I'd probably lose my job." But again, the stranger was so persistent that the custodian gave in. "Only for a moment," he added, and then the custodian noticed that the stranger seemed to be very much at home on the organ bench and was not completely surprised when the stranger then asked if he could play the great organ. "No, definitely not," said the custodian. You cannot play this organ. No one's allowed to play it except the cathedral organist." The man's face fell and he was in deep disappointment. It was obvious all over his face, and he reminded the custodian how far he had come and assured him that no damage would be done. Finally, the custodian relented, looked around and told the stranger, "You can play the instrument, but only a few notes. Then you will have to leave." Overjoyed, the stranger pulled out some of the stops and began to play. Suddenly, the cathedral was filled with the most beautiful music the custodian had ever heard in all of his years in that place. It seemed to transport him heavenward. Then, at what seemed too short of a time, the stranger stopped playing, slid off the bench, and started down the hallway. "Wait, wait," cried the custodian. "That was the most beautiful music I'd ever heard in this cathedral. Who are you?" The stranger turned for just a moment and replied, "Mendelssohn." He was none other than Felix Mendelssohn, one of the greatest organists and composers of the 19th century. The custodian, now alone in the cathedral, the beautiful organ still ringing in his ears, said softly, "Just think, I almost kept the master from playing his music in my cathedral." Friends, this Christmas, each one of us has a decision to make. like Herod, will we fight to remain control, in control, fight against God, fight against God's plan, fight against what God desires because we want to remain in control of our lives, or will we allow the Master to come and take His throne in our lives and make the most beautiful music, the most beautiful joy, the most perfect peace that He can bring into our lives? You see, that's the choice. That's the choice. The most wonderful King of all wants to come and dwell with you and I, wants to come and live within us. Emmanuel, God with us, through the Holy Spirit, wants to come and take up residence in you and I. That's the gift that God wants to bring, is to bring us near to Him this Christmas. But you see, to do that, you and I have to ask, do we want to be in control? Or are we willing to let Jesus take control? Let me continue the poem I read earlier. And Herod, he lost all he controlled. His name is lost to the centuries old. He thought his reign would last forever in a day. Instead, he got just two lines in the church Christmas play. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. The other group of people that came were the Magi. They came into the story, and we sing songs, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." There was probably more than three. Probably more than three. I know that may burst the Christmas bubble, that they were probably more than three. We know that there were three gifts that have been offered, but there were probably many more Magi that could have came. They were known as wise men, kings, and some of historians and history say completely different. They didn't come as kings to protect their position. Rather, they came to surrender, to give, and to worship. Who were these wise men? Magi from the east followed their homelands, probably somewhere around Babylon. If you remember in the Old Testament, how many remember the days of Daniel? When Israel had disobeyed God, when Israel had turned to other gods, God had warned them through the prophets over and over, but they refused to listen. And so Babylon came in, this kingdom from the east came in and took them captive and took them away. And with them were Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And how many remember that in that position of influence, Daniel rose up because he and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were willing to worship the one true God? How to remember that God did miracle after miracle showing Nebuchadnezzar that He was the one true God. You see, this is what had been happening in the histories. That's what had taken place. The influence of Daniel now, even centuries later, being impacted. And these magi and wise men from the east had heard about the prophecies that Daniel had given in Babylon, had studied those prophecies, and had been waiting for that king that Nebuchadnezzar had declared, and Darius later on, and Cyrus and others had declared in the time of Esther, had declared that there was one king and His name was Jehovah. And He was promising that through the line of David, just like with Solomon, after David's line would come a king whose rule would never end. And so these from the east who had been influenced centuries earlier by Daniel had now heard and saw a star. They had studied, they had waited, and they traveled so far, not to hang on to their positions as king, but rather to come and surrender and worship Him. Surrender and worship Him. And friends, that is what we come to today in the story. Matthew 2, 9-11 tells what happened when the Magi left Herod. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped Him. And they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's the way they responded. You have a king in Herod who wants to remain in control, who wants to fight against the plan of God. And rather, you have kings coming from the east who are willing to lay down their own throne and to worship and to give Jesus Christ, the newborn king, that place that He deserves. They worshiped Him. They found joy. And they had the opportunity to come and to be in the presence of the king because they were willing to leave their own thrones behind. Herod might have stayed in his kingdom and ordered his servants to find and try to snuff this out. while the Magi left their own thrones, their own home, and journeyed to worship and to surrender and to seek the King. And this Christmas day, that's the decision that you and I have. Last night we talked about the innkeeper and how in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. And you and I have a decision. Are we going to let Jesus in or not? And today we're talking about Herod and the Magi. So which king will you be like? Herod, who wants to fight against the plan of God and remain in control? Or will you finally surrender and give control over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this Christmas, honoring and worshiping Him and letting Him into your life and letting Him do what He wants in your life? Only then will you find true peace. Only then will you find true joy. Only then will you find that you can truly enjoy the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. So as we close, I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And as we close our Christmas service this morning, how will you respond to the gift of Jesus? Will you be threatened and troubled when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and invites you to find forgiveness and grace in the Savior Jesus? Will you fight against the urging of the Lord, or will you come and surrender? Will you come and worship Him as King? Or maybe today you'll leave here like the scribes and the religious leaders and you'll respond with indifference. I did my religious thing. I came to church on Christmas Sunday. I've done my thing. I've checked it off for the year. I'm done until Easter. I'll leave again. Hey, I'm just putting it out there. Because we all have a choice to make. You can fight against God's plan. You can ignore it and be indifferent. Or today you can give your life to Jesus Christ. Today you can surrender and find His grace and find His hope and find His forgiveness and find His peace. Don't miss the greatest gift you'll ever receive this Christmas. Give your life to Christ. Surrender control of your life to Christ. Whether you've come to church a long time or whether this is the first time in many years, let me tell you something. Jesus has come to give you life today. Will you open up your heart? Will you open up your treasures? Will you give your life and control to Jesus today? How will you respond to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.